Chapter 20, beginning in verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. They asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, then his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children, and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which be counted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. And so, as the Lord has now come to Jerusalem, and he's being questioned by all of his adversaries prior to him being taken for judgment and going to the cross to die for our sins, going to be buried and risen again the third day to be resurrected and alive forevermore. There's the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Sadducees and the lawyers coming to the Lord, seeking to tempt him, seeking to catch him in his words. And so the Sadducees say, we've got an idea. When we ask him this question, he's not going to know what to do. He's not going to know what to say, but they've got him. It's funny watching atheists as they try to prove that there's no God, and kind of the situation you have here with these Sadducees. Notice all, first of all, if you will, in verse 27, then came to him certain of the Sadducees which deny that there is any resurrection. Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. Here's these fellows, they deny that there's in any resurrection at all. Now you know why they're called Sadducees. All right, now look with me, hold your place there. All right, well, the rest of you will get that later. Acts. Look with me in Acts chapter 23. Hey, if you had no hope and didn't believe in the resurrection, wouldn't you be sad? All right. I want to show you something here about these Sadducees that you might not be aware of. Here in Acts chapter 23, and here they've got the Apostle Paul, and they're bringing him before judgment. And Paul sees that there's some Sadducees and some Pharisees. Now, if you know anything about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, basically what you've got is you've got your Sadducees are your left liberal group, and your Pharisees are your right-wing conservative group. Amen? But they all deny the Bible, but they're just two different branches of the same poisonous tree. And here in verse 6, when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So the Pharisees, at least they did believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. But the amazing thing is as much as the Sadducees and the Pharisees were opposed to one another, and you can look back with me in Luke 20, as much as they were opposed to one another, yet when it came to going against Jesus Christ, they were able to get together. And you'll find that left wing, right wing, it doesn't matter. When you want to find this world, if there's something they can agree on and get together on, it's going against the Lord, it's going against the Bible, it's going against the things of God. On those areas, they will always come to agreement on. Now look back with me here in Luke chapter 20 as we go through the passage in verse 28. They say this, saying, Moses wrote unto us. So, they believe the Bible. Right? No, the Sadducees, as so many today, believe parts of the Bible. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and many today, they like to use the Bible when it benefits their cause. But they don't truly believe the Bible. They believe the Bible when it's convenient for them. Say, how do you know that? Well, who are they quoting here? Saying, Master Moses wrote unto us. I'm going to prove to you that there's no resurrection. I'm going to quote Moses. And what does Jesus tell them about Moses there in verse 37 and 38? Moses was the one that called him the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob after they were dead. And God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Not only that, but where was Moses' body? They said they could never find his sepulcher. They could never find his body. We find out in the New Testament that Michael the archangel came and took the body of Moses. He was resurrected. Remember, he showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. He'd been resurrected. See? And here they are quoting a man that had been resurrected to try to prove there's no resurrection. Talk about the ultimate in hypocrisy. And of course, what they say in verse 28 is true. Moses did write that if a man died, then his brother, if he had a brother, should take care of that wife and help her out. Obviously, they didn't have Social Security and those things back then. And if a woman had lost her husband and was a widow, she was in a pretty bad state. And if it was possible for someone else to help her out, that was kindred to that brother, he ought to do that. That was his responsibility. But then notice what they do right away, beginning in verse 29. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife and died childless, and the third took her in like manner, the seven also, and left. Do you think this is an actual story? You think this was an actual event that took place? No. You know what the critics of God would like to do? They'd like to bring up hypotheticals, you know, to try to disprove the Lord or something like that. Watch out with these people with their hypotheticals. You ought to watch out for that stuff. You ever hear someone say, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, then does it make a noise? You know, that kind of stuff, right? You know. And I say, yes. prove me wrong. Okay, now, or they'll do this one. Okay, so if God can do anything, could God make a rock that he couldn't move? You know. Yeah, like that's what God's interested in, you know, doing, wasting his time with that kind of stuff. Listen, God can do whatever he wants. But like that's what they like to do, come up with these hypotheticals, you know, to somehow disprove the Lord or question the Word of God. And that's all. And anybody can come up with a hypothetical to prove anything. But I like people that would rather deal in reality. Verse 30, it says, and the second took her to wife and died childless, and the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Now, if you were a Mormon, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, I'm just saying that if you were a Mormon, because my wife kind of grew up in that, and but she's repented, but if you're a Mormon, you know what you believe? That yes, you stay married in heaven and you have spirit babies. That's what they teach. You know that guy that was running for president? That's what he believed. I'm just telling you the truth. Don't get mad at me. I'm just delivering the mail. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus taught. Say, but then why would they believe that if that's not what Jesus taught? Ask them. I have no idea. All I know is, like I said, there's some people that like to use the Bible when it's convenient, but they don't really believe it. I am a Bible believer. My final authority for my life and what I believe to be so and believe not to be so is not based on my feelings or my prejudices. It ought to be and only ought to be on the Word of God. And that's what Jesus is getting at with them here, despite their hypotheticals. Verse 34, and Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Well, amen. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. I had one of the young people on Friday night at our team night, and boy, what a blessing that was. We had our team night Friday night, opened it up for questions. They kept wanting to ask more questions. We weren't able to do game time because the teenagers wanted to know more Bible instead of play a game. That was a blessing. And one of the questions that one of the young people had was that right there, is, will you still be married in heaven? See? Now, for those of you who are looking for a way out, there's your way out. Amen. The Bible says when you die, you're released. And until then, deal with it. Amen. That's what you said, isn't it? Till death do us part. And some people take that way too literally. You don't. That doesn't mean you make plans. Amen. Yeah, you don't. That ain't it. But the idea is up. And now, look, hold your place here. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So why is there marriage here, but there won't be marriage in heaven? Well, he said there in Luke chapter 20, when you go to heaven, you're going to be as the angels. You're going to never die. You know what? Since the very day I got saved, from that day on, I'm going to live as long as God lives. Anybody else like that here? I like we can sing about those songs about heaven. I got a mansion and all, and know it's so. Amen. I'm glad I know I've got a mansion over the hilltop. I don't have to guess about it. I don't have to suppose. I don't have to, well, hopefully, maybe, if everything kind of works out. No, I already know. I already know my Savior has gone to prepare a place for me, and that He will come again and receive me unto Himself, that where He is, I will be also. I thank God for the precious promises of the Word of God that one day I will be with Him. Now, down here, yes, they marry, and they're given in marriage. I think I just heard some wedding bells, as a matter of fact. But they marry, and they're given in marriage. Amen? But the reason for that is? It's not a good reason. Now, we know that Adam needed a help meet for him, and we understand all that. But before the fall, they may have had a kid every couple of million years. We don't know. We know after the fall, God said, I will greatly multiply thy conception and the pain that you're going to have in bearing children. Now, a lady, if she really wanted to, she could have a baby every year. See? I know some that have done it. You could do that. But the understanding is, in marriage, the main purpose of marriage was to foster families. It was to produce children. It was to have a way so that the progeny could continue on. Now, in heaven, will there be a need for that progeny to continue on? No, because why? Because there will be no death. See? Here you have that. And you know what the Lord's desire is? Listen, the reason that the Lord's not for divorce, plain and simple, more than anything else, is because the Lord loves kids. And how many of your young people have to grow up in broken homes? And it's not fair. And it's not right to them. Now, it is what it is. And some people have to deal with that. And that's a shame. But that's not the Lord's perfect will ever. It isn't. And that's why the Lord was for marriage and for a man and a woman to be together and be able to raise those children together. And then so that they could do the same and that thing would continue to go on and continue to go on. That's God's purpose in marriage. In heaven, that won't be necessary. And that's pretty much what the Lord's explaining. Notice how the Apostle Paul puts it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look with me in verse 7. For I would that all men were even as I myself. Was Paul married? No. Did Paul have a drive where he would burn in his lust if he didn't get married? No. He had a gift from God. Now, if you have that gift, help yourself. Stay single. But if you don't have that gift as a Christian, you get married. And the Bible says it's to avoid fornication. God is not against relations. I understand our company here, I'll just try to do it as gently as I can. He's not against that. He's against relations outside of marriage. But God made the marriage bed. And he says in the book of Hebrews that it's honorable in all and undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. Amen. And so the idea is God has an order established in those things, and it's the right way. Now, Paul says, I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. There's nothing wrong with being single. But if they cannot contain, if you have flesh that has desires, then what should you do? Verse 9, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And that has to do with burning and lust. And so God arranges, even for Christians, this idea of marriage. Amen? And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. One guy said, marriage is not a word, it's a sentence. No, but the idea is, when you get married, that's a covenant. That's a covenant. It ought to mean something. It ought to mean something. But when you leave this life and you go on to heaven, listen, in heaven, there's not going to be marriage. Think about it. Is it going to be heaven? You say it's going to be heaven and you're going to have mother-in-laws? I'm sorry. That's just... I got to be careful. I'm in trouble now already. I know. But I mean, just think the thing through, you know. Look back here to Luke chapter 20, in our text. All right. Luke chapter 20, verse 36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Believe me, in heaven, when you get in the presence of God and when you get that glorified body, see, the pleasure of relations between a man and a woman would seem so repugnant and such a waste of time compared to the feelings and the pleasures you'll have then. Can I make that plainer for you? Well, some of the best pleasures that you'll have down here is between that man and that woman. But in heaven, those pleasures will be a waste of time compared to the pleasure of heaven. We have no idea. The God that made your body and your nervous system and gave you the ability to feel pleasure when you're before him in an incorruptible body with no sin and no devil, the pleasure that you're going to feel, you couldn't handle in your body. That's the resurrection. That's the blessed hope that we preach. And it's all because of the resurrection of our Savior. Think about it. You're going to live as long as God lives. How about this? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. I know people, they've got priests. You know anybody that has a priest? You see, in the Old Testament, they had priests. Do you know why they had priests in the Old Testament and not a priest? You know why they had to keep having priests and then have another priest and then have another priest? You know why that is? Guess what kept happening to those priests? They kept dying. Amen. Wouldn't do them any good for very long, see? How about that? But look at here, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22, by so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue. Why? By reason of death. They kept dying off, so they'd have to get a new one, see? But this man, reference to Christ, because he continueth ever, how about it? Hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. You ever been saved? What kind of salvation did you get? You know what kind I got? I got the uttermost kind. I didn't get a halfway salvation. I didn't get a two-thirds of the way or a 95%. I got 100% all the way in, saved my soul, gave me a fishing pole, pulled me out of the mire, and put me in the choir salvation. Amen. And that ought to be the salvation that you got. Our Savior's able. It's not about you. It's about him. He is able also to save them to the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. How about that? I'm sure glad I believe in a resurrection. Boy, those Sadducees sure did miss out. Who were they talking to? They were talking to a fellow about the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he was going to be doing a week later? He was going to be coming up at him and leaving an empty tomb. A week after, these fellows are talking to him. They had no idea who they were even talking to, did they? How about that? Look back with me, please, there in Luke. Luke. And I want you to think about this now. When you find Luke, hold your place there. And then let's look at a correlating passage in Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. You'll find many times a story in the Bible is mentioned in more than one gospel. And by comparing the different places, you'll get more of a complete story of what has occurred. But here in Matthew chapter 22, we're going to find out the reason that the Sadducees were hopeless. The reason that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection is because they did not know three things. They were ignorant of three things. And if you can know these three things, then you can know and understand the resurrection. And look with me here. I want to help you on that here this morning. Matthew 22, we'll look at these three things and we'll be done and go eat lunch. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, and his brother shall marry his wife, raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. You see that? It's the same story. Same thing again, going down. Now notice the Lord's response to him. Verse 28, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err. What was their problem? Where'd they get off course? How come they didn't believe in the resurrection? Jesus said, you do err, not knowing, the scriptures. The scriptures. Isn't it amazing in an educated America like we have today that less people know the scriptures than at any time ever? How much do you know this Bible? You ought to know it. Amen. The Lord wants you to know it. The Lord preserved it for us so we could know it. See? And you ought to enjoy it as a child of God. You ought to be in it. You ought to want to read it. You ought to let it have a first place in your life. Amen. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, if you know the scriptures, you'll know about the resurrection. You can read through there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 all that the Apostle Paul had to say about the resurrection and the resurrected body and what the Lord has promised to you and I concerning that day. The words, Jesus said, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, quickened by his word, the Bible says. Amen. And if you understand the scriptures, if you'll know the scriptures, then you'll know the resurrection. Why was it that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection? Jesus said it was because they did not know the scriptures. Because if they had known the scriptures, and all they had was the Old Testament, but even just knowing that, they would have known and believed. Job had talked about that day when in his flesh, after his death, he would see God once again. Amen? And they didn't see it. They didn't get it. When God was giving a picture of the high priest, and he brought in that dead stick, and it came back to life. What was that? That was a picture of that resurrection. And all through the Old Testament, the Lord is showing that resurrection to come, that promise that God had promised. Daniel writes about it in Daniel chapter 12, that there would be a time that would come when the dead would raise and stand before God. And so these things were covered in the Old Testament scripture. They should have known them, but they didn't know the scriptures. And without a knowledge of the scriptures, they couldn't have a knowledge of the resurrection. Not only that, but the Lord said, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor what? The power of God. So what's the power of God? Well, let's look in two places real quick in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know what they were ignorant of? They were ignorant of the power of God. Look here in Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll start first in 1 Corinthians and then go right back to the book before that, Romans. Hey, Pastor Ray, in the church here, it seems like you guys just always are wanting to look through all these different places in the Bible. And yeah, I want my people to know the Bible. I want my people to be well-versed in Scripture. That's good. That's important. Amen? And if you know the Scriptures, you'll know the resurrection. And you'll have that blessed hope too. Amen? Not only that, but look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You need to know the power of God. What's the power of God? Look here in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Ha ha ha, you preachers talking. Ha ha. All right. Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is. What is it? The power of God. Look there in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen? Listen, you preach the cross. You preach that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that He is able to save to the uttermost. So what is that? That's the gospel. That's the power of God. You know what those Sadducees didn't have any idea about? You know what they didn't know? They didn't understand the gospel. They didn't even understand why Jesus Christ had come. Jesus Christ had come to give and provide a means by which all of us could partake one day in the resurrection. The one that they're talking to, the one they're trying to catch in His words, would be the very one that would offer Him that opportunity soon, that they could be redeemed and saved and have a promise of eternal life and know that they had a home in heaven. What a Savior. It's amazing when you think about these fellas and the way they wanted to come after Jesus, and all they ever really end up doing is unfortunately condemning themselves. And finally, if you look back there in Luke chapter 20, there's one other thing they didn't know. In verse 37, Jesus says, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto Him. Was their God, was their Savior going to be their God and their Savior before they died? Because if He wasn't their God and their Savior before they died, no wonder they couldn't have any hope of a resurrection. The one that they're talking to right in front of them, manifested in the flesh, was Almighty God. The one who said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The Sadducees are bringing their case to dispute the resurrection before the God who said He was the resurrection. You know what they didn't know? They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. Do you? You know why some people don't believe in the resurrection? You know why some people have no hope of heaven? Real simple. They don't know the Scriptures. They don't know the gospel. And they sure don't know the Lord. No wonder they're sad. You see? No wonder these Sadducees were miserable. No wonder they were hopeless. Every single one of us, brethren, sooner or later, is going to face that day when, if the Lord tarries, they're going to dig a hole and they're going to put you in that hole. Everybody's going to say goodbye to you. Now, is that all the hope you have? There was a day in my life where that was all the hope that I had. I didn't know the Scriptures. I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know the Lord. And I said, well, this is all there is to life. Might as well enjoy it. Live that Epicurean lifestyle. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's it. And I look back now and I'm just like, wow. How did I ever make it that long? No wonder they're out there doing drugs, getting drunk, and all the carrying on. No wonder. They're hopeless. They're hopeless. We don't have to be ignorant. We can know the Scriptures. We can know the Gospel. You've got people out there in college universities today, and boy, they know the facts, and they know the figures, and they know the dates, and they know the history, and they know the philosophy, and they know the opinion. But then when you start talking to them about heaven, well, nobody can know. The one thing they ought to know, the one thing they could know with all certainty, they don't know. And sad to see many go through this life without that hope. Do you know the Scriptures? Hey, what's the church's job? We want you to know the Scriptures. I take that personally as the pastor of this church. I want you to know this Bible. And it's my job to teach you this Bible. Amen. So that you won't be ignorant of the Scriptures. So that you'll have that blessed hope of eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And I want you to know the Gospel. And this church preaches the Gospel. And not just in this church. We go out and knock on doors. We put it on the internet. We go out on the streets. We go to the parades. We believe that someone without the Gospel of Jesus Christ will spend eternity separated from God in the devil's hell. And we don't want to see that happen to them. And we're concerned as a church. And there's many churches, they'll preach the Gospel in those four walls, but they never go outside of that church to try to bring people in and try to get the truth to them. They don't support missionaries. They're trying to get the Gospel to the four corners of the world and fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. They're not concerned for others. I think this. I don't think that just because you didn't come to church means you deserve to go to hell. And there's some people, let's face it, they ain't never going to darken a church. And if we're going to wait until they come in here to get in the Gospel, we're going to miss them. And they're going to miss knowing what we know. And we ought to reach them. And we ought to bend over backwards and do whatever we can. And that ought to be our vision and our desire of our church. To teach the Scriptures. To preach the Gospel. And help others to know the Savior. Because, but if you have that, you know what you'll have? You'll have a hope. You'll have a peace. And you'll have a joy. That those Sadducees and those like them could never know, could never experience. Not just a hope, a blessed hope. Not just a peace, but a peace that passeth all understanding. And not just a joy, but a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you ever met the resurrection in the life? That's the Gospel. That's the good news. Not just that Christ died for your sins. That's not good news. I mean, I'm glad He died for it. But if He was still dead, I don't have anything to offer you. I can't offer you religion. I can't offer you something dead. I can offer you something living. A Savior. God Almighty, who came manifest as a flesh 2,000 years ago, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and is alive right now. Jesus Christ is alive. And He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Do you know Him? Whom to know is life everlasting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Sister, if you come ahead and pray for us. And Father, we're thankful.